grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, merciful judge, you are the inexhaustible fountain of forgiveness. Replace our hearts of stone with hearts that love and adore you, that we may delight in doing your will, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
Please be seated. Well, I am not Vicar Thomas, and it says in the bulletin that Vicar Thomas is doing the children's sermon today, but Vicar Thomas sent me a text early this morning and said, I'm sick. I have a fever. I have a sore throat and I don't feel good. And I said, stay home. Please don't come and share that with our children or with anyone else. So I have the opportunity to share the children's sermon. So today in the gospel, there's a story about St. Peter. And Peter says to Jesus, how many times do I have to forgive my friend who does something wrong to me? How many times? Come on up. Right here, sweetie. Come and sit by me. How many times do I have to forgive? And then he says, oh, I know. I bet the answer is 7. And he says to Jesus, is it 7 times? Because in the Bible language, 7 means whole or complete or entire. So Peter thought 7 was a good answer for how many times. Would you be able to forgive somebody 7 times? And if they were mean to you and then they said, I'm sorry, and you say, okay. And then again, I'm sorry. Okay. 7 times. And Jesus says, that's not enough. Not 7 times. 77 times you forgive when you're asked. So I brought, just to help us see what that is. So I brought these. I'm going to count out. Okay. So when I put one down, say, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
That's a lot. Isn't that a lot? Isn't that enough?
No.
Well, Jesus says, no, that's not enough.
More.
You have to forgive more. So let's forgive. Okay, say it again.
I'm sorry.
A little bit louder so they can hear.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
7. Okay. 8.
I'm sorry.
9.
I'm sorry.
10,
I'm sorry.
11,
I'm sorry.
12,
I'm sorry.
13,
I'm sorry.
14,
I'm
15,
sorry.
16,
I'm
17,
I'm
18,
I'm
19,
I'm
19, 20. That's a lot of sorry. Keep going. 20. Take a break. 30. Okay. Keep going.
23.
Wait a minute. 44. 45, 46, 47, 48, 49, 50, 51. I don't have enough. I can't do it. I can't do what Jesus asked. Jesus said 77 times 51. I'm not really done, am I? Well, the truth of this story is that we can't do it alone. Who helps us say, I'm sorry, and who helps us forgive?
Jesus walked for us.
Yeah, Jesus did. Jesus helps us because we can't do it by ourselves. Only God can forgive that many times. And God forgives us all the time. All the time. So let's have our prayer. God, please help us to be forgiving people. Help us to be loving people. Help us to be forgiving and forgivers and to accept forgiveness when we are asked. Help us now to have a good Sunday school time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Would you like to carry the Bible out, Julia? Okay, thank you.
A reading from Genesis. A reading, realizing that their father was dead, Joseph's brothers said, "What if Joseph still bears a grudge against us and pays us back in full for all the wrong that we did to him?" So they approached Joseph, saying, "Your father gave this instruction before he died. Say to Joseph, I beg you, forgive the crime of your brothers and the wrong that they did in harming you. Now, therefore, please forgive the crime of the servants of the God of your father." Joseph wept when they spoke to him. Then his brothers also wept, fell down before him, and said, "We are here as your slaves." But Joseph said to them, "Do not be afraid. Am I in the place of God? Even though you intended to do harm to me, God intended it for good, in order to preserve a numerous people, as he is doing today. So have no fear. I myself will provide for you and your little ones." In this way, he reassured them, speaking kindly to them. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray Psalm 103 responsibly. Lord, you are full of compassion and mercy, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. You will not always accuse us, nor will you keep your anger forever. You have not dealt with us according to our sins, nor repaid us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is your steadfast love for those who fear you. As far as the east is from the west, so far have you removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion for his children, so you have compassion for those who fear you, O Lord. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. A reading from Romans. Welcome those who are weak in faith, but not for the purpose of quarreling over opinions. Some believe in eating anything, while the weak eat only vegetables. Those who eat must not despise those who abstain, and those who abstain must not pass judgment on those who eat, for God has welcomed them. Who are you to pass judgment on servants of another? It is before their own Lord that they stand or fall, and they will be upheld, for the Lord is able to make them stand. Some judge one day to be better than another, while others judge all days to be alike. Let all be fully convinced in their own minds. Those who observe the day, observe it in honor of the Lord. Those who eat, eat in honor of the Lord. Those who give thanks to God, while those who abstain, abstain in honor of the Lord and give thanks to God. We do not live to ourselves, and we do not die to ourselves. If we live, we live to the Lord. And if we die, we die to the Lord. So then, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. For to this end, Christ died and lived again, so that he might be Lord of both the dead and the living. Why do you pass judgment on your brother or sister? Or you, why do you despise your brother or sister? For we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. For it is written, "As I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall give praise to God." So then, each of us will be accountable to God. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus came and said to Jesus, "Lord, if another member of the church sins against me, how often should I forgive? As many as 7 times? Jesus said to him, "Not 7 times, but I tell you, 77 times. For this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his slaves. When he began the reckoning, one who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. And as he could not pay, the Lord ordered him to be sold, together with his wife and children and all their possessions, and payment to be made. So the slave fell on his knees before him, saying, Have patience with me, and I will pay you everything. And out of pity for him, the lord of that slave released him and forgave him the debt. But that same slave, as he went out, came upon one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii and seized him by the throat and said, "Pay what you owe." Then his fellow slave fell down and pleaded with him, "Have patience with me, and I will pay you." But he refused. Then he went and threw him into prison until he would pay the debt. When his fellow slaves saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed, and they went and reported to their lord all that had taken place. Then the lord summoned him and said to him, "You wicked slave, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. Should you not have had mercy on your fellow slave as I had mercy on you?" And in anger, the Lord handed him over to be tortured until he would pay his entire debt. So my heavenly Father will also do to you, to every one of you, if you do not forgive your brother or sister from your heart. The Gospel of the Lord. So this is a true story. I'm saying that because you probably know that sometimes I tell a story and it's not really true. I have to manipulate the facts a little bit to make my point. This is a true story. There was a couple, this happened a good number of years ago. A couple came to me to talk about forgiveness. They were really struggling with knowing what to do with the grudges and the resentments that they were holding against each other. It would seem that as one got to the point of asking for an apology, the other would commit some sort of infraction, and the wall between them continued to grow higher and thicker. They wanted it to be different, but they just couldn't stop keeping score. So they thought they would try prayer, and that's where they came to me. So they came in and we had this conversation on Saturday. This is where it gets interesting. Sunday, they came to church together, and this was the gospel. Here's the kicker. After church, they went out for breakfast, and they went to one of those places where you take your number. You're given a number to get your food, to get your order, and the number that they got was 77. They took that number home. They called me and told me. They took that number home and put it maybe like on their refrigerator or on the dining room table or someplace where they would see it every day 77 times. Forgiving is hard, but it's not impossible. Forgiveness is hard. We live in a world that wants to keep score, where accounts are kept, where scores and statistics are analyzed, and treating people equally seems to be the highest value, all which makes this gospel passage so hard. Peter asks Jesus how many times he should forgive someone, and then offers to do it 7 times. Now that sounds like a good answer. It more than satisfies the law, and it feels to us quite generous. And then Jesus comes back with his answer, 77 times. Some translations say 7 times 7, or some say 70 times 7. But it really doesn't matter how you translate it. It's just a heck of a lot of times to forgive the same person who's sinning against you. And then Jesus tells this parable about forgiveness that just exaggerates the answer that he gave to Peter. The key to getting to this parable is to see that exaggeration, to see the great contrast between just how much one person is forgiven and how much the other person refuses to forgive. Whether we're adding it up in ancient currency or in modern money, these numbers really do make Jesus' point. A talent is about 130 pounds of silver. They used to make these blocks with a handle on it because 130 pounds, you didn't just put in your back pocket and walk around with a couple talents in your pocket. It would take at least 15 years to earn a talent. So that means that this servant who owed the king 10,000 talents would have to come up with 150,000 years of work to pay that debt. Now, that exaggeration of Jesus is making a point that this servant would never, ever be able to pay back that debt in full. 150,000 years of work. You may feel sometimes that you have worked almost that long. On the other side of the story is the denarii, worth one day's pay. So that means this is no small deal, you know, a little over 3 months worth of work. It's not nothing, but still, how could the first servant not overlook that small number, that minor debt, when he had just been, it says he's hardly out the door, he had just been forgiven this impossibly huge debt? And then the parable closes, and we can almost hear the music. Da-da-da-dum! The unforgiving servant is handed over for punishment until he pays. And Jesus warns that we too must forgive or face the consequences. I will never be able to forgive like the king in that story. I can't do it. 77 times the same person. But the good news is, I don't have to. That's not really what Jesus is asking. I don't have to put myself in the king's place in the story. I can put myself in the servant's place, that first servant with the impossibly huge debt that has just been forgiven so much. This means that my first job isn't to assume or insist that I forgive 77 times or more. My job is to bask in the unbelievable forgiveness, the acceptance and grace that has been poured out for me, and then try as much as I can to live in that freedom that grace and forgiveness affords me. The big mistake of that first servant isn't just that he won't forgive the debt of his fellow servant. His biggest failure is that he had just experienced an utterly unexpected, completely beyond his wildest dreams, a life-changing moment of grace, and he seems absolutely untouched by it. He is totally devoid of any sense of gratitude. His whole life changed when that huge debt was taken away from him, and he doesn't even seem to notice. Last week in our confirmation class, we watched a cartoon video about Martin Luther and his great insights 500 years ago that really did change the world. Well, at least it changed the way that we think about God and our relationship with God. Luther's big insight was simply realizing that righteousness was not God's expectation, but rather God's gift. Luther saw that it wasn't his responsibility to be made right with God. That was God's job, to make him right with God. It's God's responsibility to put us right, and God does that. He came to understand that God's favorite things to do are to forgive those who seem unforgivable, to love those who find themselves feeling unlovable, to make right those things that seem so wrong. Luther was freed not only from the fear of punishment, and he didn't need to go to confession every 5 minutes or beat himself up for his failure to be perfect. Not only was he freed from that guilt, but he was also freed to love, freed to forgive and to care for others around us. And this continues to be the grace-filled insight for us today. When we realize that forgiveness is not God's expectation, but God's gift to us. And then we can fall back into the arms of God's mercy and grace. And then we can find ourselves more able to turn in mercy and grace toward others. I sometimes forget about the grace and mercy that is poured out so abundantly for me. Like that first servant that just forgot that he had been forgiven. Sometimes I forget as well. And maybe you do too. We do live in a world where accounts are kept, where statistics and scores are analyzed, and equal is more valued than mercy. My paternal grandmother didn't like to be invited to people's homes. She didn't like to receive, did not want to receive birthday gifts or Christmas gifts. It's not that she didn't like people, and it's not like she didn't like new things. She didn't want to be beholden to anyone. A gift received would have to be weighed out very carefully to figure out its monetary value so that she could repay in the exact amount that would be that gift, so that it would be equal. She had a really hard time forgiving, and she had a really hard time accepting grace. I think sometimes it's hard for us. We keep listening and wondering if there really isn't some way that we could earn God's grace, God's forgiveness of us. We hear this parable and wonder if there isn't some hidden obligation to forgive, or maybe we should just work harder to accept God's forgiveness with more gratitude. When we look at the king in this parable, and when we marvel at the great forgiveness that he offered to that slave of his, and we say, is that even possible? We might wonder, am I that like that? Can I be that forgiving? Forgiveness is hard. But here's the good news. It's not hard for God. Forgiveness is possible with God. We struggle to forgive. We're constantly falling back into that old accounting systems. We worry if we're doing enough to please God, if we're doing enough to be right with God. But our struggles and our grudges don't have to be the last word. In Jesus Christ, there's a new possibility. Forgiveness, whether ours or God's, interrupts the rhythm of the world where accounts are kept and scores and statistics are analyzed. Forgiveness, God's or ours, shows us that things do not always have to be the way they are. In forgiveness, we are set free. And I think we need to be reminded of this again and again. I'm glad that our weekly worship begins at the font, where we hear that our sins are forgiven. We hear it week by week. Listen to that prayer that we said again this morning. God hears our cry and sends the Spirit to change us and to empower our lives in the world. Our sins are forgiven. God's love is unconditional, and we are raised up as God's people who will always be made new in the name of Jesus Christ. That unbelievable, unconditional, amazing possibility creating forgiveness of God is granted to each one of us. Forgiveness frees us. Forgiveness heals us. In a world that seems to have a hard time forgiving, in a world that is desperate for a word of grace and the possibility, this invitation to forgive 77 times is all good news. Thanks be to God for this freedom. Freedom to give and the freedom to receive forgiveness. Not seven times, but 77 times. Amen.